Welcome to the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, where two pastors process the context of church and the practice of discipleship. I'm Pastor Christian, and with me as always is Pastor Ted.
Hi, everyone.
Ted and I both have a lot of experience leading congregations in worship. Today on the podcast, we discuss our philosophy of worship, what we're aiming for in corporate expressions of musical worship, and advice we would give to aspiring worship leaders. We ground all of this in Psalm 33. And at the very end of the show, we introduce a new podcast that's coming later this year. Thank you for joining us. This is episode 11 of the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast.
Did you get it fixed?
It's still in the shop. So a couple weeks ago, my guitar fell off the wall. It fell off the wall hanger that it was on. It was not anchored well. My nice new guitar got a crack in like a really rough spot to repair. So I took it to one place and they were like, oh yeah, we can do this for you. And then the guitar repair guy came in and he was like very not confident. He was like, I don't know, man, I'm just going to put some glue on it. And I was like, I don't think you know what you're doing. He goes, I really don't. So he recommended another guy, and that my guitar is with this other guy now who seems to be a little more confident and know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I hope the repair goes well.
He's had it 6 or 7 weeks. He told me it would take 8, so by week 8 I'll get back to him.
Yeah.
But I'm just back to my old tried and true
low-end Taylor. The low-end Taylor, yeah, not the high-end Taylor. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we get those dings, and it's part of the war wounds of riding and so forth.
Yeah.
Yesterday I was with some other colleagues, pastors of other churches, and we got on the conversation. Energy drinks, and do you drink coffee? And I drink coffee. And one pastor, he drinks energy drinks, reminds me of my youngest son who drinks energy drinks. And he was saying, oh yeah, but I don't drink the real heavy sugar. I drink, you know, light sugar, but man, it's really good because this one brand, I guess they have a flavor called blueberry.
Okay.
And he loved it. And I was like, man, you don't drink coffee. You know what coffee stands for? Of course, I had to give him that acronym, you know, Christ offers forgiveness for everyone everywhere. And of course, they always look at me like I'm just nuts.
But he needs to come up with an acronym for his energy drink.
His energy drink, that's right. Yeah, I don't know if we could think of
blueberry.
One. Blueberry.
Believers live under, I don't know.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I got a good start.
Believers live under enthusiastic blessings.
Look, we're preachers. So this is what we do. We're like looking for making acrostic poems.
Yeah, if you have ideas, just let us know.
I've never been much for an energy drink, but I remember one time I was hiking up this mountain in China, which you got to have a different definition of hiking. And hiking in China, it usually just means you're walking up steps. It's just like thousands of steps, you know, so you get really tired. The higher you go, the more expensive the refreshments become. And we got to a place where we were out of water, and it was nighttime by the time we got up there. And because you climb the mountain in the evening, you spend the night up there, and then you watch the sunrise. That's the idea. The mountain's called Huashan, which is one of the 5 peaks in China, if you know anything about that. Anyway, so we're climbing, and we're getting closer to the top, and they had Red Bull. Okay, they didn't have water.
Yeah.
All they had was Red Bull.
Yeah.
And we were so thirsty. We were like, let's get some Red Bull. The Red Bulls cost so much money because we were at the top, you know. And you think about it, these guys have to carry them up there.
Yeah,
they gotta carry them. You're paying for the carry fee. You didn't carry it. But I drank that thing, and I was like, man, this is not good. I didn't like it at all, but I just needed some sort of, you know, fluid.
Yeah, fluid to get you going.
Yeah, that was the last time I drank a Red Bull. That's years ago.
Yeah. Even with coffee, everything in moderation. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to decaf in the evenings a little bit, just take a decaf and...
How is that?
It's okay. It's a struggle, but you know, but it's okay. I'm getting to the age where, oh yeah, wake up. If I drink coffee after, you know, 5 or 6 o'clock at night with caffeine in it, you know, it may affect me.
Oh, okay.
May.
Starting to have an effect.
Starting to may. But we'll see.
I don't want you to lose this crucial part of your identity, though.
No. I always pray when I go to the doctor, don't tell me to stop drinking coffee. I don't think it's going to work.
Well, we're going to talk about worship today.
But, we are.
Let's start off with scripture. Psalm 33. Let the godly sing for joy to the Lord. It is fitting for the pure to praise him. Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. sing a new song of praise to him. Play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. For the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations and thwarts all their schemes, but the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. What joy for the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people he has chosen as his inheritance. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees the whole human race. From his throne he observes all who live on the earth. He made their hearts, so he understands everything they do. The best equipped army cannot save a king, nor is great strength enough to save a warrior. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone.
Amen. This is a beautiful passage. It's probably one of my favorite psalms. The first three verses, I've claimed them as my life verses for me personally in the area of music and worship. A friend of mine asked if, Christian, if you and I could just discuss our philosophy of worship. Sometimes you hear a lot of stuff about people in the community, in the church, and they give their ideas on what worship is and what worship is not, and this is how you should approach it, and so forth and so on. So immediately my mind went to this psalm, because this has been my life verse, those three verses. As a guitarist, I want to really play the best I can for the Lord. As a songwriter, I really want to sing for joy for the Lord. Verse 2 talks about the melodies on the lyre and music for him on a 10-string harp and so forth. And verse 3, sing a new song of praise to him, play skillfully on the harp and sing with joy. If you look at Scripture, especially in the Psalms, the commandment is there to sing unto the Lord a new song, to sing praises unto his holy name. And so what does that look like? Worship is more than just singing. Mm. Worship is more than just playing an instrument.
To begin, it's probably good to define, worship is a really big word. And to worship God means a lot of different things.
Yeah.
You know, we worship him with our lives. We worship him in the way that we live. We worship him with our words and our thoughts and our actions. It's not exclusive to two or three songs
on a Sunday morning. Right.
So we say worship service. And we say worship team and worship practice, and we use that word. But what we mean is musical worship.
Yes.
And that's a thing, too. Clearly,
yes.
We just read a psalm about musical worship.
Yes.
So I would always start with that, like, because a lot of times people say, well, worship's more than a song. 100%. It's more than a song.
And absolutely.
So we're talking about right now a very specific slice of the worship pie,
yes,
which we're going to say musical worship.
And it's really our response. How do we enter in and express worth to God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come? We are expressing worth, and one way that the church does that over the years has been through singing. A lot of churches have battled what is called worship wars, you know. Oh, well, we can't have this instrument in the church, or we can't, you know, how dare you bring drums on the platform, or, you know, guitar.
It's a war over style.
Oh, it's a war over style. You know, the enemy likes to use anything he can to discredit God from receiving the glory and honor.
That's interesting. And if one of the points of musical worship is to give glory to God, to honor him,
I would say
through song,
yes,
then it's obvious that the enemy would seek to disrupt that.
Yes.
And disrupting that through something silly like, well, I don't like this type of song. I don't like this type of music.
Right.
It says 10-stringed harp, not 6-string guitar.
Right. That's right. How dare you take that in?
I'd bring up a...
Yeah.
This is a lute, everybody. I'm going to play the lute this morning.
That'd be great. I would love it. I've been in congregations, churches, where as a young student there to minister in music and worship, but was asked not to because I played guitar. Sometimes people are afraid, or, you know, it's not their practice. It's not that we're coming in to offend our brother and sister.
Hopefully not.
Point is to edify, to build up, to encourage, to enlighten. As a singer, songwriter, guitarist, am I, in this moment of worship in this congregation, am I bringing everything to a point that I am giving glory and honor to God? Or am I trying to promote myself?
Right.
You know?
It's just like it says in verse 2.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp. Man, that's very clear, right?
Absolutely.
It's not for myself, to glorify myself.
Yep.
In a sense, it's for the congregation because I want to facilitate musical worship for them.
Yes.
But I'm aiming it all at God, you know? The way I tend to view it as a worship leader is I'm worshiping God, and please join me in doing that.
You know?
So I'm rarely telling them what to do.
Right.
I'm basically modeling for them and saying, you know, join
me. You're like, inviting them to join with
you. Let's worship.
And I often say, so I try to be, you know, I've said this before to worship team members, we're a one-way sign. You know, I got to point up to Jesus.
That's good.
People are looking at me, but I'm pointing up to Jesus.
I know when I've been to like a big worship concert, like from a big band, let's say, and there's lots of instrumentals, you know, there's lots of people playing skillfully. There's a way you do that that is still that one-way sign, and there's a way you do that that's like, spotlight on me, check out this solo. You know, I'm about to rip this solo. Now you're ripping that solo for Jesus. You're playing it to him, but if the goal was for me to worship God, I have now taken my eyes off of him to look at how awesome you're playing.
Right.
So as musicians, I think we're aware of this tension between those two things, because they'll also notice you if you play unskillfully.
Absolutely. I mean? Yeah.
They'll notice you either way.
And that can interrupt, you know, the flow.
Absolutely.
And when that interrupts the flow, you know, you got issues. Both sides of that can, there's a delicate balance there that I'm able to play skillfully, but I get out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to be sensitive because you can totally watch somebody playing a solo and feel like God is getting the glory.
Yes.
You know? So absolutely, I'm fine with that. I'm not anti-solo or anything. Right. I just as worship leaders, we want to be aware of that one-way sign that you're talking about.
Absolutely. So. I've been in services where part of the membership of the worship team has hijacked the service, you know.
How so?
The drummer. You know, you're as a worship leader thinking the Lord is leading you to from a high energy to a softer, calmer time of intimacy, and then all of a sudden the drummer is ramping away because he's thinking it the other way. Oh, we got to ramp it up, you know.
There are some great YouTube, TikTok, Instagram reels of if you look up like worship services gone wrong, I would say a good 90% of them are drummers who are like, it's time to rock, when clearly the singer is trying to go the other way.
Yeah.
It's funny when you watch it later.
I think what we're talking about right now is really your heart attitude as a part of the worship team or a worship leader or even as a musician or a singer, you know, is my heart right with the Lord as I enter into trying to inspire others in worship? But how do you, as a worship leader, select songs or to sing?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So I'm sure this is similar for you, but I have a catalog of songs that the church knows. They might not love all of them, but they at least know them. So they're at least familiar and they can sing them. Right, because not everybody loves every song. So I don't measure it by who loves the songs.
Yeah.
Although our church does have a favorite song.
Yes.
It's not the band's favorite, but we play it 4 times a year. I play it once every 3 months, and they love it. I won't say what the song is, but if you're a part of our church, you probably know. And I always go to the scripture passage first. If I'm provided with the sermon in advance or the sermon points, that's even better, because what what, you know, what you're preaching out of the message might not be what I get when I first read it, but I take the scripture, right, and if I see a line that makes me think of a song that we know, I'll add that one. But I'm also thinking about the tempo, and I'm thinking about the style. Like, we always include one hymn, at least, to appeal to the crowd within our church who loves hymns, you know, who are going to be the most engaged by that, yeah, style. And I try to choose a hymn that is fitting with the passage. And then I also have the songs organized according to their focus. So we have what's called a gathering song, which tends to be upbeat, although not always. It's a good one to enter into worship or enter into fellowship, congregational. So I call that a gathering song. We have the hymn. We have what I would call a testimony song, mm-hmm, which is the majority of modern worship songs. And they tend to be more about my experience of God.
Yeah.
As opposed to the character and nature of God himself. That you can, when you parse the lyrics, you can see how much of this is about God and how much of it is about me or what God has, mm-hmm, done for me. And there's... testimony songs are great. People love testimony songs, and they can definitely move us in worship. I like to end our worship time with the fourth category, which is called an ascriptive song. Ascriptive, meaning it is ascribing greatness to God, which is what we're trying to do with all, yes, of our worship, but especially in the song that leads into the sermon, I want it to be as much as possible directed on God. So a lot of times the verse of a song will be very personal, but the chorus will be very ascriptive, or the bridge will be very ascriptive. In that case, I will end the song on that bridge or on that chorus or whatever the ascriptive part is, so that as much as is possible, I've led people like to that throne, and then you get up to preach. That might be more specific than what a lot of people do, but that is definitely what I aim for. And then, of course, if we have a response song, mm-hmm, I try to anticipate, based on the scripture, what sort of response the sermon might be leading, and that's really impossible. There could be all kinds of responses, but it's how I would respond to the scripture. I choose a closing song, which is generally not upbeat song. It's usually a slower song.
I think that's really helpful, and I always like the way that you just said, well, and I look at the scripture, because we enter in when we're worshiping, we're attributing worth to Almighty God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Creator. And we want to sing truth back to the Lord, even his attributes. Some people might say, well, why should we sing about God's attributes? He knows already who he is, but he loves for his people to declare praise unto him. In the deepness of this psalm, it really talks about God's attributes, you
absolutely
know. And man, the word of the Lord, verse 4, holds true. Verse 5, whatever is just and good, he loves it. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. And then I really love how the psalmist really comes to that part where we even talked about the response. He says, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoiced, for we trust in his holy name.
Yeah. And there's something about making that declaration together with others too.
Yes.
You know, you and I have both been a part of worship conferences where there's like thousands of people singing those sort of declarative statements. You know, we put our trust in you, we put our hope in you. And it's one thing musically when you have all these worshipers together and singing, you know, 10 different parts, and it's,
yes,
very beautiful. And of course, yes, the best musicians on the stage and all that. But there's also just something about, we could just be speaking that in unison and it would still be powerful because we're collectively, corporately making a declaration.
Yes.
And there's something different about that than when you do it on your own.
Yes.
You know, you and I both worship in our own time and have time with the Lord that involves music. And
yes,
it's powerful. It's important to us. But there's something different about the people of God coming together and singing it together. And that's with strangers. But when it's with your community, people that you know, people that you've prayed for and that you've ate with, when you come together and you are worshiping corporately, mm-hmm, something different is happening. And I think that's why we continue to do it.
Yeah. He is speaking to people's hearts as they're lifting up praise to him. I believe God's, you know, capturing their attention. I believe he's working in such a way to heal their brokenness or just minister especially to them. And it's just wonderful to see what God is doing in those moments as we gather together to declare his praise.
Absolutely.
If you had to give advice to a prospective worship leader or team member, what would you say to them?
No, that's good. I'd probably mention some of the things that we've already said, you know, keeping the Lord front and center and focusing on like that being your aim, not making, mm-hmm, people happy. I would say something about not taking things personally, people feel very at ease commenting whether or not they like a song, whether or not they like a style.
Right.
Very sweet people up in our church will come up to me, have come up to me and been like, wow, that one, that was pretty weak. I'm like, well, did you like the other ones? You know? But of course, they probably did. You know?
And
you just can't take that stuff personally.
If
you do, then, well, I'm never doing that song again. Or you start to get an idea about that person in your mind, which is really unfair. You know,
right.
You start to categorize them as someone
right.
who doesn't like you because they expressed that they didn't like a thing that you did. And as a young person, I definitely took that to heart more than I do now. Now I just have a lot more grace for people like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. They just told me they didn't like a song. There's plenty of songs I don't like too.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't say it to their face right after they played it, but
yeah.
that they feel free to do that. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's so the battle for me, and I would say for someone who's getting into worship leading, is don't start to assign to the people in your congregation these roles of they only like hymns. They don't like this song.
Right.
Every time I do this, they fold
right.
their arms and sit
that's
down.
Right.
Like that's not healthy.
Yeah, we don't know what's going on in their lives,
Absolutely.
How God is working in them,
show grace.
And so forth. We need to be grace-filled people. I think that's,
even when they don't show grace for you.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
You need to show grace to them.
Absolutely. I've been rebuked so many times in my musical journey, especially leading worship or in those moments. For most parts, the Lord has allowed me to respond in grace mm. to those individuals, which has been very healing and helpful.
Yeah.
It allows me to minister more effectively to them.
Absolutely.
And allow the Holy Spirit to flow through me.
And
more.
If you've
and
had an
good.
Experience that
good.
Has stuck with you
yes.
like that,
yeah.
just seek the Lord about that and let
Absolutely.
That go. Because there's probably ways that he wants to use you
yeah.
that are being blocked by the fact that
yeah.
you are still retaining pain from that. You know?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right. Yeah. So as you know, a worship leader, you know, my motivation is, am I bringing glory and honor to the Lord?
Mm.
Am I trying to do everything with excellence as best of my ability in the moment? And we all make mistakes, and God is very graceful
yeah.
and merciful in those moments, but to do my best for him.
Mm.
And thirdly, you know, am I pointing others to Jesus in those moments? Not myself,
exactly.
but to the Lord,
yeah.
you know.
When it comes
and,
to your team and when it comes to practice, I mean— Of course, I encourage people to practice and encourage people to play their best, just like you said. I also really try to carry a vibe of mistakes are going to happen and it's
yeah.
fine. I never rebuke people for playing wrong notes or anything like that. The only thing I would rebuke somebody for on the worship team is having the wrong heart about a thing. You
right.
know, if they are displaying,
right.
and I don't know their heart, but if
yeah.
they're displaying something that their heart is not in the right place,
yeah.
I would check them on that.
Yeah.
But otherwise... Man, we make a joyful noise,
yeah.
And I don't like. I mean, of course, I want us to play to our best, but that pursuit of excellence, if we take this psalm the wrong way, that pursuit of excellence can really hurt people, and
sure.
it's very easy to make it
sure.
stop being about God and become about excellence,
performance,
you know,
or
performance,
whatever.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, man, it's definitely heart first for
yes.
me.
Yes, yeah,
yeah. What about you in terms of leading a team? What advice would you give?
Oh, well, I'm pretty much laid back in leading a team. I've always let others express their musicianship and, you know, and tried collectively as a band or whatever to work together to have at least a cohesive sound. But, you know, and at times when drummer's playing too loud at a part or if, the keyboard player is riffing off and it shouldn't be. You know, we give instruction like that, just
sure.
practical instruction.
Yeah, yeah.
Here we're going to sing louder, here we're going to go softer, so forth. As a leader, you give that instruction. I should do more of that probably in my leading, but I'm very graceful. I let the musicians play because I just think, hey, we're all together.
That's right.
Here we are.
We're all in the same key.
We're jamming for Jesus,
That's
man.
Right.
This is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're all in the same key. Hopefully we're in the same key.
Yeah.
Sometimes we've had experiences where somebody hasn't been in the same key, and it's kind of interesting.
Sure.
But if I'm coming in, I'm entering in, my heart attitude should be, Lord, what do you have for me today in the worship today? You know,
mm-hmm.
is there a phrase? Is there a line, a truth? That you're going to speak to my heart to bring me into your presence, to bring me closer to you. Don't allow my stylistic preferences to blind me from or cause me to be deaf from hearing from you.
That's a big one, yeah.
You know, I want to hear from you. That's why I'm entering in, so I can receive the word corporately as the body and I can bring glory and honor and encourage another brother or sister in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Even if it's not your favorite song, if it's a song that you're tired of or a song that you don't know or a song that's in a style that's not your favorite, man, God could have something for you if you're open to that. And so if you are, then maybe the people around you will be too.
Yeah.
The last thing I kind of wanted to touch on, wanted to ask you about is, you know, what we're trying to accomplish in our musical worship. Obviously, we said we want to be honoring God, putting him first, getting out of the way, having that one-way sign. You know, music moves people. It connects with you on a emotional level, right? Just music. And I've had conversations with people that they're uncomfortable with that. They're like, no, I don't want to be this. It feels like manipulation. You know, when you make the whole church dark and you add a fog machine and you add lights, are you just manipulating me? But you could say, okay, leave all that stuff. Just playing music could be manipulating me. When you watch a movie and they play a funny song, you know, you're supposed to think it's funny when they play an emotional thing. Right. So by introducing music, we are moving. People are being moved.
Yes.
And, you know, I had somebody tell me that's like a pep rally. That's not a worship service.
Yeah.
So I guess, how do you feel about that, that people are being moved? Like, should we be trying to move people? Is that just an unfortunate byproduct? I mean, some people cut music out entirely. You know, they just do a cappella or there's no drums because it better not be moving me.
Right.
Because then it's dangerous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation because I would say when I look at Scripture, the totality of Scripture, I see that God is the author and creator of music as well as instruments he allowed man to have that. We're expressing creativity when we sing or when we play an instrument, and that's just imitating the creativeness of God the Father in that sense. And you could argue, you're manipulating me. Well, I look at it this way as a pastor and as a spiritual leader and as a worship leader and as a musician, as a follower of Jesus. If I want to create an atmosphere that is conducive for people to express worth to God. So music helps me create that. Lighting can help me create that. Sometimes, you know, they're tools. Lighting can take away. Sometimes music can take away. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where the skillful part comes in, where you're discerning, you're relying on the Lord to give you wisdom in that moment. But sometimes the Holy Spirit will minister in more powerful ways than if it wasn't presented. I think the Holy Spirit is just, he's chipping away at the hardness. This is how I look at it. He's chipping away at the hardness of the heart when we have music. And God is just beginning to dig. He's beginning to dig the rough soil out of the way so that when the Word of God, which is Christ himself, the living Word, when the Word of God is preached and proclaimed, Christ can enter and bring healing or challenge or conviction or hope. And so I view that it all works together. It's supposed to be all working together for the glory of God, for the good of the worshiper, as well as bringing worth to God. And God receives all the glory and praise in that moment. And we can get overboard, you know. It's like, oh, that worked well last week. Let's do that again. Well, that might not be what it's called for.
Right.
That's why we have to stay in step with the Spirit of God and keep that relationship vital.
Yeah, that's really good. Ted and I have both done this for a long time. We've been led different congregations at different times. Different types of music was popular 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And so much changes in the realm of musical worship. And some people are just uncomfortable with that. You know, some people want it. They want to sing the songs that they learned in youth group or in Sunday school. You know, and that could have been 70 years ago.
Yeah.
So you have to be patient with people. And also, I think I keep introducing new songs partially, not because I need a new song, but partially because we need to keep that muscle alive of things are changing. God is still speaking. He wasn't just speaking 60 years ago.
Yeah, that's
he
right.
He's still speaking. And we want to respond to him today, too.
Absolutely.
And so we can do that in traditional ways with the classics, with the hits. But we want to keep being open, I think, to singing a new song, just like Psalm 33 says.
Yeah, there's an old hymn that says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Well, he's living, he's active, and we need to sing a new song unto him that gives praise to him and glory to him.
Okay, so if you've been listening since the beginning, if you're an OG listener to the Zach Pod, you know, sometimes Ted and I will play a song because we are worship leaders, we are songwriters, and that's part of our experience with the Lord. It's a big part of our spiritual life. And we've decided we're not going to do that on this podcast anymore, on the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast, because we're going to move it to a different podcast. So we have a new podcast that'll be coming out soon.
Great.
It's called Sonic Forge. Sonic Forge. So Forge is where something is made. It's a podcast about songwriting, and we're mostly going to be talking about worship songs. But Ted and I will talk about songs that we've written. We'll play some demo versions. We'll play some other versions. We might invite other songwriters that we know onto the podcast to share their music too. And it'll be songs you probably haven't heard before. There'll be new songs. Or our old songs that no one's ever heard.
That no one's ever heard, but we dare to bring them out to share.
Why do we want to do that? What are some of the reasons maybe we want to share our songs or our songwriting perspective?
I think one of the reasons why we want to share songs is, again, just giving worth to God as the creator. He may have birthed in you a song or a phrase, or even it's a great tool to be creative in memorizing scripture as well. You can just make a melody up, and you can sing in your car as you drive here and there. Or we always tease about the person singing in the bathroom shower because of all the reflections on the tile. It sounds so good, but no one else is going to hear you. But sing unto the Lord a new song. So I think it's good to share that, to encourage one another in that, because we're just honoring God through those gifts, and we want to encourage others to use their gifts.
Absolutely. Whatever your gift is, you know, respond to God with that.
Yes.
So I'm not a visual artist. I can't draw or paint or create something digitally. Yeah. But both my kids love art. And so I always encourage them, you know, to reflect on the sermon or the Bible story or whatever through drawing or through painting. And
excellent.
Sometimes my daughters will bring me this like comic strip, you know, or this like collage of drawings that they did while I was preaching. It's my favorite thing ever because it's like, oh, this is stuff that stood out to them and this is how they're responding. So it doesn't have to be an artistic gift. It's whatever your gift is. You want to give yourself fully to God.
That's
and
right.
And so when we share stuff about songwriting, it's for people who are interested in songwriting and want to know how the sausage is made, so to speak.
Yeah.
But also it's an insight into our spiritual lives that hopefully will encourage others in theirs.
And you can see how the Lord has worked in us and continue to work in us and through us. And hopefully it will be a blessing to you.
So Sonic Forge will come out next week. It'll be in the Thursday slot. So if you're in the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast feed, it will come up for you, and that's what it is. I hope you give it a listen and let us know what you think. Thanks for joining us on the Zephyr Hills Alliance Church podcast. We're glad you're here, and we want to invite you to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All of our content is produced in-house by the ZAC Media team. If you want to connect with us further, find us on Facebook and visit our website, zaccma.org.